Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. This is a live radio show, so what we say can and probably will be held against us. I don't know about in the court of law, but somewhere. Or maybe in our favor. Who knows if we say something intelligent. Good morning, Walker Wildman.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Good morning, Fred.
Great to be here.
Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family Radio and OneNewsNow.com. And we got an old guy back here, Dr. Ray Pritchard. I say old in the sense that he was with us a few weeks ago, and he's back. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tim. It was fun to be away, but it is sure good to be back with the gang.
What did the trip include?
Well, I was gone for a little over 2 weeks to the Philippines and to South Korea, teaching at Word of Life Bible Institutes. I did the Book of Daniel in the Philippines and then the Book of Joshua in South Korea, and had a great time. It was hot, hot, hot in the Philippines, and it was colder anyway in South Korea. Had a terrific, amazing trip in every way.
So you have to take a coat, but you have to store it in your suitcase until you get to South Korea.
We were sweltering in the Philippines, yeah. And in the jungle there, and I mean they're pretty much used to it, right? Because it's just hot there a lot of the year. But for me, I was sort of in the fall mood, you know, and everything, sweater weather and all that, and it was hot, hot, hot. And then you get off the plane in South Korea, and you better put your sweater on because it was cold and so. Yeah.
Let me ask you this: the people you were going to teach, were they pastors from around the Philippines, or was it just laymen, or who were
these? These were young people, most of them college age, say 18 to about 23, 24, 25, who take a year out of their personal lives to study the Bible for 1 year, to Word of Life Bible Institute. And so these are future pastors, future missionaries, and future Christian leaders. And we had from the Philippines, from South Korea, from Japan, from Vietnam, and then folks from Haiti were there in the class in South Korea. So very eclectic group to teach, and just had fun both places.
Ray, I love the Book of Daniel. Why did you choose Daniel for the folks in the Philippines?
Well, it's part of their academic curriculum, and that's a book that I've been teaching here in the U.S. for a number of years, go down to Florida every year and teach it there. And really, Fred, there's no book that speaks more to our condition in the world today. To our listeners, let me say, if you want to know how to live for God in a pagan world, read the Book of Daniel, because it's about how you can prosper wherever you are, even in an ungodly environment, if you'll do what Daniel did. Also, it gives gives God's plan for the future, the unfolding of God's plan here at the end of the age. So I think Daniel is a book, there couldn't be a better book for Christians around the world in the 21st century than the Book of Daniel.
Amen.
Let me ask you just a practical question about travel. Did you fly from Manila to Seoul, and then Seoul? How did you get back?
Flew from Kansas City to Dallas to Narita, which is Tokyo, and then down to Manila, and then from Manila up to Seoul, then from Seoul to back to Dallas, and then back up here. Hey, let me tell you one, sort of the cherry on top of the sundae, okay? So it's the end of the trip. I'm in the big airport, Incheon Airport, which is huge in Seoul, South Korea. There's hundreds of people milling around for the 13-hour flight. And there's some folks with American passports, and we're just talking to one another. And I noticed one fella was there just standing sort of on the edge of the group, and he said a couple things. And then time came to board. So there's 450 people on the airplane. And what do you know? That fella was sitting right across the aisle from me. He had an aisle seat. I had an aisle seat. And we're getting ready to take off. And this fellow who I've never met before, true story, leans over to me and he says, "Are you with Keep Believing Ministries?" And I said, "Yes, my name is Ray Pritchard." He said, "I thought so." He said, "I didn't know your face, but I recognized your voice. He's a listener to American Family Radio. He was in Seoul, South Korea, on his way back from Thailand and Myanmar, where he'd been preaching. He's retired. He's from Bentonville, Arkansas. And Tim, he knows you. He knows all of us from today's issues. And I thought to myself, hey, just a shout out here to my buddy Earl Mossenbecker from Bentonville. And Tim and guys, it just proved to me again, American Family Radio covers the globe.
What a great story.
Wow. Yeah, that is awesome, man. I'm glad you didn't talk. You and I had not talked about that before. You just shared that story. That's just wow.
You know, you go to the other side of the world,
yeah.
And what do you know? There's somebody who listens.
Your voice.
He heard my voice in the airport and said, "I know this guy from American Family Radio." So that was the cherry on top of the sundae.
Amen.
At the end of the great trip.
Amen. Wow. Amen. Amen. Well, we're glad to have you home, brother, what's your next trip? Where are you going next?
Let's see. I'm going to Columbus, Ohio to visit with some ministry supporters there, and then the trip after that, coming down to Tupelo for the board meeting.
Yeah. KeepBelieving.com, right?
That's it.
Is Ray's ministry website. Check it out. All kind of resources there. Especially if you're studying the Bible, or if you're going to be teaching Bible study or Sunday school, and you want some extra help in understanding some of the text, certainly go to Ray's website. He has lots of resources there. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Walker, if folks want to watch us or follow us on the internet, what do they need to do?
Yeah, several different ways. As Ray mentioned earlier, you can download the app, which people do all across the country and even all across the world. There you see the app, AFR app, and also we're on social media, Facebook and YouTube. Just type in the name of the show, and you can catch us on Facebook and YouTube.
Today's Issues,
mm-hmm.
And we're posting the stories. Brent Creeley, our producer, is posting the stories that we talk about.
That's right.
So you can get them there at Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues, Dr. Frank Turek will be with us momentarily. But first of all, Fred, there's a very tragic story leading the news today, right?
It is 9 American citizens massacred yesterday in the western part of Mexico. It's called Sonora State. It's about 100 miles south of the Arizona border. And here's what we know at this hour. Don't have all the details. These 3 women, 6 children, they're in a caravan of about 3 SUVs. And they're part of a community, an offshoot of the Mormon Church, a community there in that Sonora state. They've been there for years. What is believed at this hour is that they were attacked by a drug or drug cartels. We're not sure of the whole motivation in that yet. One report earlier this morning said they were mistaken, that it was a war between 2 cartels, and one cartel thought the SUVs were filled with people from another cartel. But that's being disputed right now. But what we know is these are all American citizens, 3 women, 6 children, all killed there. And apparently there were some abductions, but we're not sure about that yet. But just an absolutely horrible scene, a horrible event that's going on down there. And it's related once again. We hear stories all the time about the violence of these cartels, particularly in the western side of Mexico. And once again, this time it involves American citizens.
Yeah, this shows the gruesomeness of the cartels down there, and this is why this ties directly in to President Trump's the need for President Trump's policies on the southern border, and really all of our ports of entry for that matter, because this type of violence has trickled in to Texas, Arizona, and other parts of the country. MS-13s even end up in the northeast. But that's why it's so important that we control who comes in and who leaves.
And to your point, Brandon Judd was interviewed this morning. He's the president of the Border Patrol Council, and he talked about the dangers of the cartel. Cut number 3.
President Trump has been able to work with the Mexican government to come up with policies that have been very beneficial to both Mexico and to the United States. President Trump can work with Mexico. We can get ourselves invited to go after these cartels. And yes, walls absolutely work. I personally know that firsthand from my workings on the border when I patrol the border. He's doing the best that he can, and he is going to get this under control. But we have to have Congress step up to the plate and do their job as well. And if we don't, we're going to continue to have problems.
How many times has the president said one of the reasons that we need the wall and fortify things is because of these cartels?
Yeah, you can't let them get a foothold here in the United States or creep up over the border to do that, because then they'll start killing police officers. They'll start killing drug enforcement folks. It'll lead to lawlessness and brutality and criminal activity like you've never seen before. And these people they kill like ISIS. You know, they cut your head off.
Mm-hmm.
It's an intimidation thing, and then they begin to take over towns and cities and so forth. The president did tweet on this, and I thought it was an excellent tweet by the president this morning, 2 hours ago. And he said, I'll just read it. He said, a wonderful family and friends from Utah got caught between this is what he knows, I guess, got caught between two vicious drug cartels who were shooting at each other, with the result being many great American people killed, including young children, and some are missing. If Mexico needs a request help in cleaning out these monsters, the United States stands ready and willing and able to get involved and to do job quickly and effectively. The great new president of Mexico has made this a big issue, but the cartels have become so large and powerful that sometimes you need an army to defeat an army, end of quote from the president's tweet. Let me just say one other thing about this, and that is, you have to remember that the Democrats are for open borders. Okay. Now they're not going to. Well, some of them will. They might not say I'm for open borders, but they're for doing away with Border Patrol. They're for doing away with ICE. They're for doing away with denying entry into the country for any reason. So for all practical, they're either for open, straight out for open borders like AOC, or they're for open borders for all practical purposes. So you have to remember this. If you're going to say you're for open borders in the name of what they would say in the name of humanitarianism, or for letting all these poor people into our countries because they got a bad way of life in Central America or Mexico, so it's our in the name of human compassion, this is what the Democrats would say, we need to let them all in, okay? If you take that approach, then you're going to let all these people in too, these drug cartels.
Yes.
So they're going to get more of a reach into the continental United States and expand their, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Expand their base out to not only the violence that comes with it, which we see here on display, but also spreading of the drugs all over the country and creating more drug addicts and more criminal activity. So the president is, it's two-prong, or multi-prong at least, the reasons why he wants to secure our southern border. First of all, you stop people from coming here illegally. We don't know who they are, right? And we have to have law and order on the border. The Democrats are against law and order on the border. I think that's a loser for them politically. The second thing is the drug problems that we have in the country will only get worse if we don't do something on the border to stop this from coming more into the country. But again, the sad news here is that we've lost, how many Americans?
Nine.
That we know?
Three women, six children.
Are dead today because of this. I don't know if they have a compound down there.
They do? It is.
I don't know why they're living in Mexico, but maybe I'll learn more about that. Later. Very tragic, very sad, and
women and children especially murdered in cold blood here by these drug cartels. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We want to welcome now Dr. Frank Turek to the program, Cross-Examine Ministries. Frank joins us every Tuesday that he can. And Frank, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. You know, Tim, I just happened to see an article this morning on this, not on this particular issue, but related to it. It's on The Guardian over there in the UK. And the title of the article is Mexico's President Under Pressure Over, quote, hugs, not bullets, unquote, cartel policy. So,
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apparently, he's trying to take a softer approach with these cartels rather than dealing with them in a show of force. Hugs, not
right,
not bullets. And I'm trying to figure out how he thinks that's going to work. I know that sometimes, obviously, violence can beget violence. But as Paul says in Romans 13, the government, the ruler bears the sword for a reason. He's got to protect innocent people from evil. And tragically, a good part of the problem, a good part of the blame for the problem is on American drug use.
Yeah, right. No question about it.
Yeah.
Another thing related to this, Ray, feel free to jump in here too on this
sure.
one. This isn't why we had Frank on, but we can get to his topic in just a moment. Once you travel the world, Ray, and so is Frank, and once you lose law and order, it's very hard to get it back. And by that I mean if gangs begin to operate parts of states or cities or regions, they take over, and then they buy off the police. And we see this is happening around the world. I mean, corruption. I think of Chicago right now, and not all of Chicago. Obviously, there are wonderful parts of Chicago, but there's an area, and Ray knows this better than I do. Ray, there's areas in Chicago, and maybe this is true of other big cities as well, where basically drug gangs or prostitution, they run prostitution, things of that nature. And they take over large swaths of a city, and they basically become no-go zones for the police. Am I right about this, Ray?
Well, it's 100% correct. There are parts of Chicago where the police don't want to go into because they don't feel like the government is going to back them up if they get in trouble. And so they walk away, and it leaves the bad guys, the drug dealers and all the rest, running the whole show. And Frank, I went back to this story in Mexico. It just seems to me, if you see the pictures that have come out of the cars burning up and what they did to the women and the children, it just seems to me it's a misguided policy, Frank, to say let's hug these people, let's not use guns. I don't think you can reason with people like this.
No, you can't. And as I think it was Francis Schaeffer once said, that in a fallen world, some amount of force is going to be necessary. And we know that here in our country. Suppose the police were today to say that for 24 hours tomorrow, no crime will be prosecuted. You can do whatever you want and you'll never be prosecuted. What do you think would happen? Would Best Buy survive? Would the Lexus dealer survive? Would you survive? Somebody might come and just shoot you because they had a gripe against you. A force is necessary. Even just the presence of force is necessary. Sometimes you don't need to use it, thankfully, but sometimes just the presence of force keeps people from doing evil. And if you don't meet evil with evil, or I should say force, if you don't meet evil with force, evil's just going to prevail, unfortunately.
You know, I wonder, we see this happening more and more in our country, especially in the big cities, where law and order's basically broke down. And you see what, as you say right there, Frank, you see what happens as a result of that. I was watching a story about New York City where these, somewhere there, they had hundreds of people jumping the, what do you call it when you go on the subway?
The turnstiles, yeah.
Jumping right. The turnstiles.
Yeah, yeah.
Hundreds of people jumping the turnstiles and vandalizing police cars. Pouring water on police officers. This has happened in the last few days.
Yeah.
And AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, left-wing, far left-wing representative from up there. She was commending these people, or basically saying, how can you arrest people who can't afford to pay the transit fee? And I mean, and you see what's going on in other parts of the country, with especially in these big cities where lawlessness is just starting to take over. You see police officers retiring early, getting out of that. Walker, you
Yeah. This kind of goes together here. But remember, in back in the Obama days under his administration, one of the State Department spokespersons, I think her name was Marie Harf, she said that ISIS, talking about the Islamic State jihadis in Syria, they need jobs. That's the problem. There's low unemployment. I mean, there's high unemployment numbers. So they need jobs, and then that'll solve the terror problem. But what they're missing, and this ties into criminal activity in the U.S. and the cartels, is that there's a sin nature, and Frank can talk more about this, but there's a sin nature that no matter what you do for someone, there's still the sin nature.
Yes.
And that's where government comes in and force comes in, where you have to control and there has to be punishment for actions.
Yeah.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Okay, we're fixing to do a little whiplash here because we had Frank on. Frank, can you stay till dark?
Well, if we're going to treat evil with hugs, it's going to be dark forever. So,
okay. Hey, that was pretty good right there. Can you stay till like 10:35 or so?
Sure, sure.
All right, because we're not going to have time to complete the topic prior to going to break. All right, so I watched a video that you sent out yesterday to us here in preparation for the interview today with you, and we're going to post that on our Facebook page. Is it already up there, Brent? We're working on it now. And it had to do with politics and why we should care about politics. Was that video from a university setting?
Yeah, it was. That's University of South Carolina just a few months ago.
All right, what happened?
Well, you get the question all the time, why should Christians be involved in politics? And my point is everybody ought to be involved in politics. And what I do is I just tell them to Google three words on their iPhone, and it's Korea Satellite Night. Korea Satellite Night. Now, if you're driving right now, don't do this. Okay, wait till you get home. But just Google Korea Satellite Night. And this one picture, I think, demonstrates beyond any reasonable doubt that politics is supremely important, because when you look up the picture, what you see is a satellite photo of the Korean Peninsula at night. You see the South Korea basically awash with light and productivity, and you see North Korea virtually completely black, completely dark, with the exception of their capital. And there's one reason for the difference between the prosperity of the South and the desperation of the North. And the one reason, Tim, is politics. The South has political freedom and the North does not. I mean, the South is a more Christianized country. It's got political freedom, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, those kind of things. The North is a concentration camp, and politics is the reason for the difference. I don't care if you're an atheist, you ought to be concerned about that. You ought to be concerned enough to get involved to try and create a country that's more like South Korea rather than North Korea. And by the way, today's election day, ladies and gentlemen. I know it's not a big election day for many people, but in our community, we have a mayor election and town council election. So we're going to vote this afternoon. If you haven't voted, go to Ballotpedia and figure out where your people stand and then go vote today.
Okay. We're going to be back with Dr. Frank Turek after the break. I'm Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray is in Kansas City. And we shall return momentarily with more of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
The hustle and bustle of life, fast-paced life, the technological advancements, sometimes we forget some of the basic things. If you look around and see the onslaught of progressivism around us, we become, as Peter would describe it, I would say, willfully ignorant of some basic foundational biblical truths.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
On American Family Radio, this is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. Hey, enjoy the ride. That's what I tell people who come to me in the midst of a struggle and think I don't understand the magnitude of their problem. But I do, and I really don't care, because God's always bigger than their problem and would end it immediately if there wasn't a lesson for them to learn or a life-changing witness for them to have going through it, if even to the point of death. God's plan is for you and everyone you influence to spend eternity with Him. That's why the magnitude of your problems are always dwarfed by the opportunity they provide to perfect your faith and lead people to Jesus Christ. So enjoy the ride. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone you're with today closer to Jesus. If you want to know how easy that is, go to ROTW.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu.
Kanye West has been making global headlines over the past few weeks with his Sunday service, most recently in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. As many as 1,000 people converted to the Christian faith at the gathering, hands raised as far as the eye could see at the foot of a giant cross. Kanye is a new believer, and because of his celebrity status, his new life has become fodder for the tabloids. Now, that's to be expected. But it's been mighty disappointing to see a good many fellow believers casting dispersions on Kanye, too. Apparently, they don't believe that God can use anyone to glorify his name, even the least of these. We are all sinners, saved by grace, something to remember, especially for those who are casting stones. Be sure to check out today's Toddcast podcast with special guest Mike Huckabee and David Limbaugh exclusively on ToddStarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray, and we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Dr. Frank Turek's on with us from North Carolina. He's the president and founder of Cross Examined Ministries, and we were talking about, the question of should Christians be involved in politics, and Frank made the point, yes, number one, and if you want evidence of why Christians should be involved in politics, look at Korea. North Korea and South Korea, and the differences there. One, where people are able to be involved in politics and government and vote, and the other where it's a complete totalitarian state, a dictatorship, where there is no right to vote or to choose your leaders. So, Frank, the last question I have is, and you addressed this prior to the break somewhat, but it just sounds so pious, doesn't it? For our, when our brothers and sisters say, I don't dirty myself or sully myself with politics because that's worldly, and my fix is on the kingdom work. So
yeah.
They say that, and then they that's the trump card, so to speak, right? I mean,
yeah. The problem though is that in order to do kingdom work, you need political freedom. In other words,
or it certainly
you can't
helps.
Do. Yeah, you could try. I mean,
right.
and some will say, well, sometimes the church grows through persecution. Well, yeah, sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. But we don't wish persecution on people. You couldn't have American Family Radio Network in North Korea. Why not? Because politically they ruled it out. You can't have a church in North Korea. Why not? Because politically they've ruled it out. So politics even affects our ability
yes.
to preach and live the gospel. In fact, think about this. Laws affect everything you do. They affect your freedom, your church, your children, your family, your health, your money, your business, your property, your school, your home, your security, your safety, the poor, the unborn. They affect the gospel. Laws affect everyone and everything. Should we just allow the atheists or the secularists to make laws? See, we don't seem to realize here, because we live in this little Christian bubble and this little political freedom and religious freedom and freedom of speech bubble here in America. We don't seem to realize this is not the way it is in most of the rest of the world, nor has it been for most of recorded history. We just think, oh, we're just going to take this all for granted. No, freedom needs to be defended. And it needs to be defended by people getting involved and ensuring that the right people and the right policies are put into place. Otherwise, our very ability to do what Jesus told us to do is hindered. Now, can God get his will done even when it's in? Of course he can. But we don't wish evil and suffering on people. We do what's best to try and keep freedom for everybody.
Yeah. Amen, brother. And you can go and watch, everybody listening to me needs to go watch this video that Frank recorded. We put it up on our Today's Issues Facebook page, and it's up there now, right? Okay, so go and watch that video, Frank talking to this student at the University of South Carolina when he asked the very question I asked about politics, and Frank, in Christian love, just destroys the poor fella.
I think it was a Christian
eviscerates him, and the guy walks away crying. It's really impressive. I'm teasing. Frank handles him well, and it's a good exchange and helps explain what Frank's talked about the last few minutes. All right, what's coming up on Cross Examined this weekend?
Well, this week, and by the way, just so not to lose a train of thought, go out and vote today. Today
yes,
is election
absolutely.
Day, so get involved and vote. This weekend, we're going to have David Berlinski, who is a self-described secular Jewish thinker. However, he's come out against Darwinism in a very big way because he knows there's intelligence beyond the universe, behind the universe, and he's written some fabulous books. One is called The Devil's Delusion, which is actually a response to Richard Dawkins' The God Delusion. He's a brilliant thinker, so we're going to have him on this week.
David Berlinski. So Cross-Examined, it's on weekends here on American Family Radio, 9 a.m. Central Time on Saturday morning. Is it going to be live or taped?
This one's going to be taped. It's going to be 9 a.m. and then I guess at 4 p.m. Central on Sunday as well. It's rebroadcast.
Or on Memorex.
That's right.
Oh,
and
man.
By the way, we got a ton of those videos from the college campus team. They're up on our Cross-Examined YouTube channel. They can see all those
Cross-Examined
videos.
YouTube channel?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hey, Frank, take care.
Great being with you guys. God bless. See you. Vote.
All right. Amen. Hey, Ray, you just said you got back from South Korea. Talk about South Korea and North Korea.
You know, there are two things, maybe three, quickly to say. Number one, the Christians in South Korea are people of amazing faith. You've probably heard that, Tim. They pray beyond what most Americans pray. They have such enormous faith in God. But for the people in South Korea, the division with North Korea is very real because they've got family members and friends they've been separated from for, what, 60, almost 70 years now. And they are praying fervently for the day when the communist regime, which is, it's probably the most brutal government in the world, when it finally falls to the ground and they can be reunited with family members, and they're praying for the gospel to spread over there. Second, you can bet the people of South Korea love America because America's military might is one thing that holds back that maniac up in North Korea from invading the South. So they're praying for the gospel to reach the North. They're thankful for Americans, and they live in a kind of, you know, South Korea is one of the most developed countries in the world, and yet They got China on one side, North Korea, they got Japan, they got the U.S., and so they live in a state of a heightened expectancy, because in South Korea, you literally, you don't know when you get up in the morning what's really going to happen that day, because you're sort of this small nation surrounded by a lot of forces that you can't totally control. I love being over there, Tim. The Christians, full of faith, full of joy, full of hope.
Mm. All right. Fred, what's the next story?
Well, staying on the theme of elections, there are important elections going on in this country today. And our focus is on four states in particular. Well, three, I would say, Kentucky, Mississippi, and Virginia. Now, in Kentucky and Mississippi, important gubernatorial races, so important, at least for President Trump, that he came to Mississippi on Friday evening to support the Republican candidate in Mississippi, and that is Tate Reeves. It's very tight governor's races. The polls have been very close. The his Democrat opponent is Jim Hood, who is the attorney general of the state. In Kentucky, first-term governor Matt Bevin in a close race there with the Democrat Andy Beshear. Now, Bevin, a very conservative, loved by the conservative people of the state of Kentucky. Beshear is the attorney general of that state, whose father was the state's last Democratic governor. So that's a close race also. And then in Virginia, the Democrats are hoping to take over the state house. Right now in Virginia, Republicans control the state house narrowly, and then you have the executive side controlled by the Democrats. Mm-hmm. But important, important elections in those three states.
Yeah, in Kentucky and Mississippi, those governors' races, people might, from the outside, might say, well, aren't those Republican states? And aren't those red states? And they are red states. However, it's you have two Democrats running who are people who've won statewide elections themselves.
Yes.
And I know in Mississippi, you know, Attorney General Hood, he's won several statewide elections for 4 or 5 years. So under normal conditions, Tate Reeves, a Republican, would cruise to victory today. But because Jim Hood has been elected statewide, as has Tate Reeves, obviously as lieutenant governor, it makes people suspect that the race will be closer than it otherwise would be. And we'll see how the results come out tonight. And it's the same type scenario in Kentucky.
Yes.
Their AG, who's running against the sitting governor, himself has been elected on a statewide basis. So that's the reason, Walker, that those races are considered to be closer than they otherwise would be.
Yes, and we do actually, our governmental affairs affiliate, AFA Action, does offer an in-depth voter guide, and you can go to their website, afaaction.net. That's just afaaction.net. We'll post it on Facebook also. But if you go there and click on the voter guide link, then you can all you have to do is do your zip code, and then it pops up who's on your ballot and where they stand on different issues.
All right, so especially Virginia, Kentucky, and Mississippi, you certainly need to get out and vote today. But other states are having elections.
New Jersey, the Democrats there are hoping to maintain control. You know, just one anecdotal thing, driving around during the election campaign over the last several weeks, I found it kind of interesting that Democrat candidates, you don't know if they're Democrats only if you go do some research. The lawn signs, there's no mention of party affiliation at all.
Well, in the South, there aren't a lot of – it's hard to get elected as a Democrat, so you just
– You try to
hide
it?
It's like the Baptist church who doesn't want to know you're Baptist. They're Baptist, so they take it off the sign. You know what I'm saying?
But that begs a question.
Why do you want to be Baptist if you're going to take it off the sign, right?
Exactly.
Why do you want to be
Democrat? That is a good question.
Why do you want to be Democrat if you don't want to tell people you're Democrat, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's been interesting in Mississippi, the Jim Hood shows him shooting a gun and that sort of thing. But his opponent points out that he voted for Hillary Clinton.
I got to tell you, I just find it's humorous to me during political season, and this is all over the country.
Sure.
In every race, and both sides do it, Republicans and Democrats, but they take 2 second snippets of what their opponent has said or done, and they frame it in such a way, by the time you get through, you think this is the most awful person in the world. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it just, but that's just how the game's played today. And you just go, you just say, now, come on, man, that's not fair. And I guess I say the Republicans and Democrats both do that kind of thing. And they do it to each other during primaries. But anyway, we'll see what happens today in Mississippi, Kentucky, Virginia, and other states. Of course, next fall is the biggie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have national election for president, and then we have the congressional, you know, races every 2 years, and then we have the some one-third of the Senate will be up for election.
Prediction on media coverage tomorrow morning.
Well, here's the way this works. If because President Trump went to Mississippi and Kentucky, if the Republicans win there, it will be, they won because those are Republican states.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose, then it'll be Trump's fault.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that's
so
it. Exactly.
So for President Trump, it's heads you lose, tails you lose. But anyway, we'll see what happens there. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio Network. And if you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Pardon me. I had to sneeze, and I don't know what you do about that when you're on live radio. So I just had to hit the cough button. We have a little button here beside our microphones that's supposed to silence our – so hopefully nobody heard that. But all right, we want to talk now to Sandy Rios. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association, and she is heard each weekday morning on AFR with Sandy Rios in the morning. And Sandy joins us Tuesdays when she can. Good morning, Sandy.
Now, Tim, I know you trust me most of the time as an advisor, right?
So I do.
I just have to tell you, that cough button's not working.
Are you serious? Did I hit the wrong button?
She probably heard you through our microphones.
That was a mighty sneeze.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I consider that a compliment. You know what happened is I did hit my cough button, so it did keep the world from stopping. But because Walker and Fred are close by, my sneeze, what do you call it, a mighty sneeze?
A mighty sneeze.
Yeah, there was no silencing that sneeze, no matter how many buttons you push.
I'll tell you something funny about that is Allison, my wife, we went out a couple months ago, I guess it was, and I did my sneeze. And when I sneeze, I make it worth it. You know, I go ahead and let her rip. But I can't help it. But she's like, we're in a restaurant, and the people stop eating. And they stop their forks, and they look over at me. And it's like, she says, would you please? She said, you scare people. You scare people with your sneeze. She said, go ahead. I said, well, you know, it's an involuntary action, honey. I can't help it. What do you want me to do? So anyway, if you try to muffle it, then your head comes off your shoulders, right? So I don't know. So anyway.
Your earbuds are burst. Your eardrums burst.
Yes, it's dangerous.
That's what I was taught when I was a kid. Yeah, so let her fly.
That's unhealthy. But then then I hear that we got a couple of ladies at our office, and they do this. And their little sneeze, you can't even, they sneeze, and I'm going,
what was that?
Yeah, one of them, I said, come on, you can't go through life with a sneeze like that. You know, that's not a good thing. So anyway, all right, Sandy, Fred had a topic. Didn't you not have a topic to bring up? What did we talk about this morning?
Well, we can talk to Sandy about elections, but we can also talk about the impeachment process that's underway right now.
Oh, I can't get enough of this.
I know. Hey, listen, I'm interested to see what's going to happen with regards, because Jim Jordan was on, Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan was on Fox and Friends this morning, and he says he may be going to the House Intelligence Committee, we understand, and he wants the opportunity to get Adam Schiff under oath talking about what he's been up to. Is that ever going to happen?
Is this under the two can play this game?
Yeah.
Thing?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, what's going on there, what Fred's talking about?
Well, the Intelligence Committee is the one that's leading the impeachment, which is very unusual. It's always the Judiciary Committee in the House that heads the impeachment inquiry. But this time they've let Adam Schiff run it out of intelligence, which is very odd. So I think Jim Jordan is just saying, you know, okay, so I will switch to the Intelligence Committee and I'll get in on the hearings and I'll find out firsthand what's happening and I will put Adam Schiff under oath. Now, I don't exactly know how he would do that. And I don't actually know if he can switch committees without the permission of the speaker. I don't know what the rules are. So, sorry, I can't answer how that. But if he's saying that he'd like to do it, it's probably possible he wouldn't even be saying that.
Well, Walker, did you have a question related to this?
Well, yeah, it is very interesting, Sandy, that Adam Schiff is heading this up. The only thing I could think is that the Intelligence Committee can be more secretive, maybe, has more capabilities to be secretive, such as holding meetings and interviews in the basement of the House of Representatives, which is what they've been doing in previous weeks.
I don't understand, Walker and Sandy. I don't understand. I remember about a week ago, a delegation of Republican congressmen went to this room where the Democrats are holding their secret interrogation, or what do you call it?
Interviews.
Interviews, or whatever you call it, of the whistleblower and others. And they wouldn't even let the Republicans in, would they? How do you do that? You're completely keeping a major political party. There's two of them, and how do you just keep them out of the room?
Sandy,
and for what purpose?
Sandy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've never heard of one party being kept out of processes going on in committee processes. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened, but I haven't either, Walker. But that is exactly what they were doing. And I think the reason they chose the Intelligence Committee was because of Adam Schiff, because he's a central player in this impeachment thing. And I actually think we're going to find out that he's probably more connected to this Eric Chiaramella, the whistleblower, than we know, and that they're all working together. And so they have to assign, and Gerald Nadler, remember, held those hearings when Mueller was Mueller testifying, and he did very badly. Mm-hmm. So there's no way, they're going to let him handle this. So Adam Schiff is the more sneaky, the best liar, and the most cunning. And so that's the reason that they've assigned that to him. So, The reason they gave for not letting the Republicans in is that the Republicans were not part of the Intelligence Committee, the ones that wanted to get in. They were in part of the Judiciary Committee, which is the committee that's supposed to be hearing these impeachment inquiries. So technically, that's the way Matt Gaetz justified being in there. We are the House Judiciary Committee. We are supposed to be the ones doing this. We have a right to hear this testimony. So it was just a clash of wills, but it was a very effective tool. I think Matt did a great job showing those that saw it, America, how really nefarious this scheme is. And there's more to come out. I mean, there's just so much. I'm reading stuff every day. I don't know if you guys heard this morning or saw the Sidney Powell. She's representing Lieutenant General Flynn. And her latest filing with the court basically laid out how, in more detail, how General Flynn had been forced to plead guilty to something he wasn't guilty of. It is a horrendous, horrendous story about how the FBI manipulated the 302s. That's their report of interviews. They did not give the original 302. They manipulated it. Looks like Page rewrote the 302. She wasn't even in the interview. That's not allowable. Yeah. And they brought that as evidence in court. They switched General Flynn's answers around to make it look like he said things he didn't say. And they threatened him. They were going to give him the Manafort treatment. They were going to put him in jail for life. They were going to indict his son, whose wife had just had a new baby. I mean, it is outrageous what the FBI and the deep state has done. We're learning now that John Brennan, I just learned this morning, John Brennan actually created a task force. They called it the Trump Task Force. Nobody knew about it. And he handpicked people to belong to it to take down Donald Trump.
Yep.
And, of course, in the task force were lots of people, including the FBI, and we think probably likely the British characters, Joseph Mifsud and some of the others, were part of that as well, international effort to take down President Trump. We're hearing more and more things. And so it is a dirty business. And I think our challenge is to convince our neighbors and friends of how really wicked and corrupt our inside agencies have become.
Well, let me just say this. President Trump, you know, has been faulted some for his behavior and his reactions to all this. And I will say, you know, sometimes that criticism is justified, in my opinion. However, having said that, the guy has been undercut ever since he started. Ever since, even before the inauguration, he's been undercut by the deep state, by many in the liberal media, and certainly by some of the Democrats, maybe not all of them, some of the Democrats who have sinister plans from him from the start. They call themselves the resistance. And so if you can imagine being sworn into office, you've been duly elected by the American people, you go in with high hopes of getting things accomplished for the American people that you've run on, and he's still been able to do a lot, don't get me wrong, without Congress.
Yeah.
But then you realize that there are leakers that they've placed in the White House. There are people at these agencies who are Obama loyalists and Clinton loyalists who are out to ruin your presidency. You have people at the FBI, Peter Strzok, is that his name?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Lisa Page and those texts saying how they were saying we're going to stop this man. That is President Trump. It's saying it out loud not out loud to the world. They never thought these texts would be revealed to the world. Mm-hmm. And then you have James Comey, the FBI director, covering for Hillary Clinton in such a shameless way. I mean, it was laugh out loud. I mean, Bill Maher, for goodness sakes, extreme progressive, maybe not extreme. He would probably say I'm progressive. But anyway, he's going, you know, the Hillary Clinton obstructed justice. And James Comey let her off, and Peter, and they didn't even put her under oath. So I'm just saying to you, if you got all that stuff day after day after day, and you're one man, that is namely Donald Trump, how do you handle that? How do you process this? How do you react? How can you not help but lash out sometimes? Mm-hmm. Now, he doesn't do it every day, but certainly when he gets at these rallies like he was at in Tupelo and Lexington, talking about he gets going, and sometimes it's probably not quote presidential, but it's real.
Yes.
and how he feels, and you can understand too how he would feel if his family's under attack all the time. You know, they're wanting 10 years of your income tax returns. 10 years mm-hmm. of your income. The IRS doesn't even tell us to hold him, but for what, 5 years? And they're wanting 10 years of his tax returns. They're going after him with subpoenas and lawyers, and it's just unbelievable. And so if you get that much pressure were on any of us, I think every once in a while we might crack, you know, we might feel that. Anyway, Sandy, last thoughts here on this?
Yeah, we'll add to that the judges, the judiciary, thwarting him. Every time he takes a step to do something right for the American people, there's a judgment against him, and they have to go to court. And every step of the way, they fight him. And so I don't, honestly, so many of us just give up so easily. If there's one thing I've learned to admire about him, it is that he is steadfast.
Yes.
I don't care what they say. They say that he's changeable. In some ways, he's capable of changing his mind. But in many ways, he's steadfast. Mm-hmm. He stays with it. Look at the immigration. Look at the wall. And so,
He stayed on focus on the things that he ran on.
Yes,
he has. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Hey, Sandy, thanks so much. Take care. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, when we get back from the break, we will let Ray speak again.
I'm still here.
All right. Dr. Ray Pritchard's with us from Kansas City, Kansas. Walker, Tim, and Fred, we're in Tupelo. And Steve will come in, Steve Jordahl, in a minute, and bring us some more news. Fred, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, folks, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.